The following podcast is for healthcare professionals only. All views expressed belong to our speakers and don't necessarily reflect those of Nestle Health Science.
Hello and welcome to Inside Medical Nutrition Podcast, a podcast powered by Nestle Health Science and hosted by me, Dr. Ninya Patel. In today's episode, which is part of this career support series, I'm delighted to be talking to Tamira Naika, the Regulatory Affairs Manager at Nestle Health Science. Hi, Tamira. Thank you so much for joining the podcast today. And I have to admit, this conversation for me is super special because we studied dietetics together and we are actually friends. But maybe this is not being such a good friend because I know you do regulatory affairs, but I don't exactly know what that means. So I'm looking forward to finding out a lot more about that. So sure. let's get started. Why don't you tell me a little bit about your current role? What are you actually doing?
Sure. Well, firstly, thank you for the opportunity. Always, always super excited to share my transition into regulatory affairs and hopefully spread that inspiration for other dietitians out there should they wish. I'd say about me professionally, I'm, of course, a clinical dietitian by background. I also have a degree in zoology, a big nature fan.
We know that. We love the animals.
I love my animals. And I'd say personally, if I had to describe myself, I probably would say I'm quite an adventurous type. I love going off the beaten track and kind of going on odd holidays and things like that, especially something that involves kind of nature and things. I'm sorry, that was a bit of a mouthful and a bit of a segue. Nevertheless, in my current role, I am a regulatory affairs manager and I provide regulatory support for the medical nutrition side of the business. Often we describe them as foods for special medical purposes. And they usually are made up of enteral feeds that are used as sole source nutrition or all nutritional supplements. And they are required for the disease, disorder, or management of a specific condition.
Okay, that all sounds very complex. Okay, let's take a step back. So we studied together. You're an acute dietitian. You worked clinically around some hospitals in London. Yes. How on earth did you move into regulatory affairs?
To be honest with you, I had no idea what regulatory affairs was when I was a clinical dietitian. And let's be honest, not many of us know what regulatory affairs is. However, I think the one thing for me that was always of interest, and I am quite a curious person by nature, I was always interested in, so how are these products produced? Okay. How do we know what to put in them? How do we know how to formulate them? Oh. How do you know what is more suitable for one condition versus another condition? Who makes those decisions? Where do those insights come from? Mm. So I thought for me, my personal curiosity was that driver for me wanting to move into industry, I'd say as such, more than regulatory affairs.
Okay.
And that curiosity spurred me on. And that is, I suppose, how I, if we had to rephrase the question, made the transition from acute care into industry.
Okay.
And then regulatory first happened by default. Again, my curiosity within industry was, well, again, how do we produce these products and how do we know what the legal limits are and understanding labels?
I know that at university, we don't get taught very much about regulation, right? So how did you upskill yourself to be able to do your job?
I was very fortunate to have had fantastic leaders who saw that key attention to detail that somebody needs for a role in regulatory affairs.
Okay.
So they knew I was somebody who, yes, had the clinical knowledge and had that insight, having worked in the NHS, which is incredibly, incredibly valuable.
Mm.
And then that they saw that almost that skill set in me that I didn't fully appreciate, nor that I thought I had at that very moment. Mm-hmm. So I thought, absolutely, I'd love to upskill myself. I'd love to learn something new. I love to learn, period, as you know. Mm-hmm. And I went for it. And my transition into it was mostly via the prescribing aspect of it. Dietitians in industry, especially within medical foods, we are involved in the prescribing side of these products to get them on prescription for patients.
Okay.
And a fair part of that would involve dietetic input, as I said. And then it was just building on from that, learning about the prescription, then learning about the regulations, then learning about broader and broader aspects. And that, in a nutshell, is how I moved into regs. It was one step at a time.
Yeah. And so what would you do on a day-to-day basis or on like a weekly basis? Talk me through what your days tend to look like. Are they always the same or very varied, I'm assuming?
They're incredibly varied. Incredibly varied, like most roles are when you are heavily involved in them, or you become almost an expert in them. That said, a big part of what we do is the innovation and renovation. So we support on new product developments and, of course, renovations of existing products, i.e. from a compliance standpoint, and a big thing on leading you nicely into a large pillar of regulatory affairs is compliance. And I think most people relate to regulatory affairs as almost those gatekeepers of moving things through the various gates, so to speak, to ensure that products are compliant. That's not all we do, but that is an incredibly large part of what we do, is the compliance side. So we would check, for example, are the recipes for the products correct? We would check the ingredients. We would check the additive levels, because, of course, every single ingredient and every single additive, majority, should I say, are indeed regulated. They have legal limits. Aside from that, the levels of nutrients that we add to a lot of our food for special medical purposes have legal limits, again, minimum and maximum legal limits. So the regulatory affairs manager would then cross-check all the products we produce, whether they're new products or whether they're existing products, to make sure that they fit within the law, in a nutshell. Furthermore, when we develop products and we're further down that approval stage, it's the labeling, to check if the labeling meets the labeling regulation, whether the marketing material not only fits the regulations of the market, but they also fit perhaps internal compliance that we might have. So it's essentially checking compliance at every stage in a product's development.
No, fantastic, but very varied in terms of what you actually need to do. And are most regulatory affairs managers dietitians, or actually could you come from a law background? Because it sounds like you're reading a lot of documents and really checking for the detail.
That's an excellent question. And funny enough, not many dietitians have a background. Sorry, forgive me. Not every regulatory affairs manager has a background in dietetics. I suppose I'm an anomaly, if that's the correct word.
Interesting.
Most regulatory affairs managers are certainly, I'd say, within food industry, certainly my colleagues that I work very closely with, actually have a science background. Whether it's environmental science, whether it's engineering, or a lot of people have, most people have a science background, not really a legal background, funny enough.
Yeah. And do you think that having the clinical dietetic experience that you have is an advantage in this role?
100%.
So we need more dietitians basically doing your
job. Absolutely need more dietitians. Absolutely, 100%. Having worked in the clinical setting before I moved into industry and, of course, into regulatory affairs, that insight has been so valuable in my career progression and adding aspects to how I think about a recipe approval. Yes, I know. It's almost like I wear two caps.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. It's right from a regulatory perspective, tick, 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 tick. No, if it's a no.
Yeah.
And then they go, from a dietetic perspective, have we considered X, Y, Z? So that insight is incredibly valuable, and I can't stress that enough.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So what's the best bit about your job?
Oh, saying no to very senior people. No jokes aside. It's a role that you have to have a bit of courage, because there will be days when you have to say no.
And I can imagine the frustration if a product has been all the way, it's just about to get launched, and then, regulatory affairs say no.
Absolutely.
But really important role to say, be able to say no.
Absolutely. So yes, you have to have that courage, and you have to back that up. It's not a willy-nilly, okay, no. You have to be firm, and you have to justify why. And then we'll have procedures in place to rectify. That said, very, very rarely do we say no if indeed we have been involved at the correct stages of product development, if that makes sense. So any new product launches, not just development, also renovation. So it's key to have your regs manager or your regs support involved, because we're not just there for compliance. We're also there to help shape something
the
for
products.
You.
Because, and that's where the being a dietitian adds even more value.
Absolutely, adds another level to that.
It's a fast evolving field where the legislation changes quite a lot, right? So how do you keep up to date with things? And I mean, this is probably two questions. So the first question is, how do you keep up to date? And the second question is, what's happened with Brexit? How has that changed your role?
If I tackle the first question, how do we keep up with it? We're involved in a lot of trade association work. So we're members of various trade associations that support the medical food industry and also general trade associations in terms of how the structure is with regs managers for the business. And we're normally involved in changes that may come up, if that makes sense, an opportunity to explore what the changes are, what does it mean for a market, and if those changes are feasible. And then we've got a leeway or a transition period often enough when a legislation comes into place to make the relevant changes.
Okay.
With Brexit, it has added a level of complexity, as it does. That said, from a food law perspective, a lot of our regulations have been, how can I say, absorbed into UK law, for the lack of a better word.
So there isn't too much changes
from a day to day. That said, there will be with time a degree of deviation from European law as and when that happens. And again, it's important for us to be aware of the regulatory landscape and understand what may change and warn the business. Forewarn on any change that may impact our products.
No, that's fantastic. And, you know, so your role is very much regs within a multinational company. And I know from the freelance world where I sit, as some of my colleagues who work with food industry, I guess they're doing a little bit of regs because they're working with industry, they're looking at health claims, they're making sure the labeling contains the allergens and things like that. I mean, what tips would you have for them in terms of keeping up to date? Because I'm not sure whether they're involved in all the trade associations you're talking about.
An easiest way is to, if you are supporting any business, is to actually find out which trade associations they are involved in. And if there are any changes that you need to be made aware of.
Okay. No, that's fantastic. And then for any dietetic colleagues, right, who are listening to this podcast, who are thinking, oh my goodness, I didn't even know that this role existed. It sounds exciting. I want to move from perhaps doing some of the clinical work I'm doing into maybe moving into working in industry and particularly working within regulations. What would your top tips be?
I'd say dieticians, dare I say, are innately fantastic regs managers. And I'm not just saying that because I've made the transition myself. We have that key attention to detail naturally, a lot of us have, because of patient care and patient safety. It's something that we have to have. So it's innately we have that. If you have that curiosity to learn a bit more about regulatory and not just, I'd say, regulatory such, a curiosity in terms of how food is produced, how food production is manufactured, how dietitians are involved within industry, it's to reach out to your network. Reach out to your network to find if there are courses out there that can upskill you should you need to. I'm not aware of any at the top of my head, but presumably there should be.
Yeah, and I think that this is a massive gap, right, in terms of even the university. So we're very good at having, you know, you're a clinical dietitian, you're a community dietitian, you perhaps work with food industry, but our food industry placements are very much kind of hospital food based. They're not really even tapping into things like this. But maybe, I mean, we both studied dietetics a little bit long ago, maybe it has evolved, but I'm not sure that actually there's even any training supporting dietitians. I wonder, I mean, I'm giving you a job to me. I think you should start getting involved with, just, you know, you can talk to universities because sometimes they have these days where you go in and you talk about what job you actually do. And so you're inspiring more people to want to actually follow your path, which we're doing with this podcast, which is fantastic.
Well, clearly you've identified a gap. And if there is indeed a gap, I'd be more than happy to support. Because absolutely, if there isn't that awareness, firstly, I suppose it's about raising the awareness. And then if there aren't any courses, I suppose, to upskill. Because like you said, back when we studied, we didn't learn about the regs. We learned a little bit about additives, a little bit. But even that was just very top line. Oh, yes, there's additives and and yes, they're regulated. But no detail in terms of how you could progress into a role where you would manage the regulatory side of things from a dietetic perspective.
Absolutely. So
I'd be happy to support. I think it's a cracking idea.
Fantastic. And then the other thing is also on where do dietitians are listening to this podcast or student dietitians wanting to get into this, look for opportunities. Where are the jobs advertised for roles like yourself? Would it be just the same places, or actually are we looking specifically for industry type of roles?
Predominantly roles requiring dietetic background, I'd say, is mostly within the nutrition, health and wellness teams.
Okay.
And within industry, that is.
Okay.
Again, to my knowledge. And then furthermore, medical affairs.
So looking
roles
for medical affairs, rather, it might not be regulatory affairs, it might be medical affairs, a bit broader.
And I suppose regulatory roles don't restrict dietetic applicants, purely requiring somebody who ideally has a science background. And again, if you're a regulatory affairs manager, as am I, for a medical foods division within a company, then that expertise would be really, what's the word I'm looking for?
Useful.
Benefit. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I guess also having the experience you had clinically really helped, because you've then got that at the back of your head when you're at the moment working with product development and taking it all the way to when it's actually going out to launch.
Absolutely.
So perhaps specializing it first in whether it's adult or pediatrics and then kind of launching into it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And
absolutely.
I think nowadays there's all these masters anyway, which are, you know, looking specifically at allergies and things like that, which could also upskill you to feel more confident to be able to get into a role like yours.
I think anyone with a nutrition background and a dietetic background, I think, would be incredibly valuable to the food industry.
Great. Fantastic. Well, I mean, I've loved having this conversation. We could chat on and on, but we must wrap up. So what would you say in closing your top tips are to our listeners about getting into a role like yours?
Keep your key attention to detail. Be curious and find a way to move forward. Use your network.
Fantastic. Tamira, absolute pleasure chatting to you. And thank you so much for your time.
I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you. Lovely chatting to you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Inside Medical Nutrition. If you enjoyed the podcast and found the content useful, please share it with your colleagues. And consider subscribing so you never miss an episode. For more information on this topic or to share your feedback, please visit the Nestle Health Science N+ Hub or click on the link in the show notes.